Now, Old Moles Joe Clement and Bill Resnick are here with a report on the statewide teacher strike in West Virginia and its ramifications.
Hi, folks. Bill Resnick here from the Mole, talking to Mole Joe Clement. Joe and I have been watching fairly carefully the teacher strike in West Virginia, now near 2 weeks old. Joe, tell us about the strike, then we can talk about its importance and the future of unionism, ultimately, in this country.
Well, on February 22nd, the whole state of West Virginia, all its public schools, that is, went on strike. They are striking around a set of issues. Part of it is pay, but a large part of it is the health insurance system that they have for the public employees, for all the state employees. And early to mid last week, there was announcements that the governor was going to concede a 5% raise, but the teachers ultimately said that this is not enough. And their rejection of this was complex. Part of it had to do with it just not being enough, but they also didn't trust the state to fulfill its promise. And this was borne out over the weekend by the end of last week, when the state legislature didn't approve a raise. But then there's also the fact that the governor's concession didn't at all really address the health insurance costs of the public employee insurance agency that they have in West Virginia. There was a promise of freezes to premiums, but what teachers, rank-and-file teachers across the state, are demanding is a more substantial fix to the way that it is funded so that these costs don't balloon in the future. And interestingly, the way that they have suggested it should be funded is with a gas tax, a natural gas tax, on the highly lucrative industry that has been supplanting the coal industry in that state.
Yeah, I've read a little bit about the status of public education in West Virginia and in a lot of other places around the country. It's being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. Programs are being abolished. After-school things are being abolished. Music, drama, everything is being abolished. Kids are being forced to pay for sports activities, for their uniforms and stuff. That's also, for them, the teachers see this as destructive of the schools and of the student motivation and capacity. They also say that the schools, because they're so low-paid, teachers who have a little bit of experience flee West Virginia for other places. Many of the teachers with their families are on food stamps, in fact, particularly the new hires. And also they're hiring completely in many districts in West Virginia, completely unqualified people who have had no teaching experience, nor have they gone to any kind of teaching program to come into the schools, which then profoundly undermines the capacity to set up a really strong learning culture when many of the teachers just can't win the respect of their students. Joe, this was a grassroots struggle. It was not led from the top. The union actually was getting feisty because the teachers were getting angrier and angrier. But it was, in fact, the teachers themselves that began and then maintained the strike after the union agreed, although my understanding is the union had to agree or else they would have been sued. It's a complicated story, but tell us about them.
Yeah, there are a lot of reports out there that have described the turn in events as a wildcat strike, and that is not entirely accurate because we don't have a collective bargaining situation or anything like that. And the union hasn't really tried to put the kibosh on the rank and files initiative to continue the strike, although at first it seemed they were willing to accept the governor's concessions. What is so outstanding about this strike is that it has been mobilized and coordinated by a network of rank-and-file teachers that in no small part were organizing through Facebook group West Virginia Teachers United, which, you know, grew to be several thousand, almost as many teachers as there are in the state, which is about 20,000. The teachers have been making sure to maintain community ties so that their struggle is not perceived as a special interest sort of struggle. There were a number of positive news reports, even from just the local news stations across the state, about how teachers were organizing food collection drives to make sure that their most vulnerable and needy students, who depend on the free and reduced lunches they may get at school, were not missing out on one of the only substantial meals in the day they'd get if they weren't coming to school.
This is Bill Resnick here for Old Mole. Joe Clement and I, both members of the collective, we're doing a roundtable. We're talking about the West Virginia strike. We've already discussed how teachers were fed up and that it was a grassroots strike, but it also has tremendous local support because the teachers there, like in many other places, the parents know that the teachers actually care about their kids and are fighting not just for their jobs and security, they're fighting for the schools our children deserve, which is the great rallying cry of the Chicago teachers, the Philadelphia teachers, the Portland teachers, and the parents come to realize it. Joe, let's talk about the importance of the strike now in the increasingly, it's hard to imagine it could increase, but it is increasing, an increasingly anti-labor attack by conservatives in the state there. And the Democratic Party that used to make an effort to defend the public workers is now so weak in many places that they don't even try. And we're getting a whole set of laws and judicial decisions that could enormously weaken the unions. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you're referring to Janus, which is a Supreme Court case that came to oral argument stage last week. And basically, if it were to pass, then all the people who are in union contracts but not union members themselves wouldn't be required to pay so-called fair share dues to pay for the administration of contracts. And what this would amount to is a large cut in unions' budgets. But what this strike, I think, is showing us is that union power, worker power, is not simply a matter of dues and a matter of money and what money power can do for us. Money is obviously a tool for workers, but it is not really what the union movement ever was about. The union movement was about our labor and our power to control our labor and what this means practically for the people we're trying to influence. So what this strike, I think, is showing is that beyond the claims of illegality or of rightful conduct, workers can act and they can shut things down. And that what will hopefully come out of this is a set of decisions that reflect what the workers were aiming for, and that their choice to walk out of work and to get everyone across the state to walk out of work with them is what achieves that. And it's not a matter of what money can buy or what money can translate into results.
Now, there are a number of unions that have survived fairly well right-to-work legislation because they have gained, they recognized, and even if they were business unionism before that, you know, we'll get you the money and you stay out of union politics and let us run things, that business unionism, which now is collapsing. But the social unionism and the grassroots unionism in places where workers really come together to fight, to struggle, the unions are still able to force management to act a whole lot less brutally.
Yeah, it says a lot about this strike that they were able to force the governor's concession, but then that they were also able to get the state, the legislature, that is, to agree to a raise of they thought that they were approving a 4% raise, though they screwed up and were actually approving a 5% raise, which they had to go back and redact. But this proves that the state was lying to workers when it said that it can't afford really anything more than a 1% or 2% increase. They found the money in this last week for their admittedly insufficient offer, but that was more than they were ever saying was possible before.
Yeah, but unfortunately, part of it, Joe, is that when the teachers who have a lot of power and have great strength and who generally have the support of parents in almost all districts because they, in fact, admire the teachers and like the teachers, and the teachers are now reaching out to parents, it's very successful. But in fact, within the entire set of state services, it's not as if the state is, in fact, raising taxes on the rich or raising the resources that they could easily get from the corporate sector if they stuck together and weren't fighting one another for giving tax subsidies. But it seems to me sometimes what it means is the teachers get more and the daycare workers get less, or the child care workers or the child welfare people or the environmental protectors. Not the police or the firemen, though. They have a powerful union. So it seems to me right now social unionism is great, and social unionism really has to begin building an entire coalition from below, and that will be the only way that, in fact, the resources will go for the things that we need rather than for now a renewed arms race, for example, as an enormous waste.
One of the planks of the union's demands is taxing the natural gas industry, which has been making big inroads in West Virginia and other parts of the United States as a new way to extract value out of fossil fuels. Obviously, West Virginia is coal country and was coal country before, and that also explains a lot of why the union militancy has erupted so widespread and consistently across the state. But one of the demands of the teachers was a tax on natural gas of 1 or 2%, something that is small to their operating budgets, but would be huge to the money it would raise for the state, and that this could be used to plug up the holes.
This is Bill Resnick and Joe Clement of the old, both of us in the Old Mold Collective. We're talking about the West Virginia strike that we've been looking and examining for the last almost 2 weeks now. It's really important because we've discussed why it's so important, particularly in setting an example for a renewed unionism, a grassroots unionism that'll be necessary to maintain any kind of labor movement in the face of the right-to-work laws and the Janus Supreme Court decision that basically undermines a variety of most union power, except for the grassroots militancy of their members that they can't stop. Joe, why don't you sum up and tell us, there's a number of other important things about this strike. Let's conclude.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that this strike is in large part being led by women who are a disproportionate amount of our education force in West Virginia, but is also the fact that we call this a teacher strike, but it's not just limited to teachers, either in the scope of who's participating or who it's for. We have school bus drivers who have played an absolutely critical role in gumming up the process of getting kids to school, which has led to school districts just closing outright before they see, you know, that so many teachers haven't come to school. But then you have the fact that teachers are trying to affect change in a system that supports so many other workers besides teachers. The health insurance agency is not just the teacher's health insurance agency, it's all state employees. And when they are fighting for a raise for themselves, they're also fighting for a raise for all state employees. And I think that these are two very enheartening aspects to this strike that should be repeated again and again to remind people of how this is not some superhuman kind of act, and it's not a very self-serving sort of act. It is the community rising up for its own interests.
And right now it seems to me more and more likely people are beginning to realize the great inequalities of not just of income, but how precarious their lives are and how precarious jobs are, and how much power the employers have gained. It's not inconceivable that we're going to see large movements growing across the country in the next several years.
Or even right now, Oklahoma teachers are talking about going on a statewide strike, obviously inspired by the actions in West Virginia. Teachers in Pittsburgh were able to get a contract signed with their bosses because they saw what was happening in West Virginia and saw that Pittsburgh was being inspired by that and ready to act just as militantly. This has the potential to inspire action in places we may not have been expecting it to happen.
Joe, good talking to you today.
Thanks, Bill.
Teach in school, you'll never become rich. district don't have the money. That's their